This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And a fashion icon as well. Hey, everybody, getting ready for the new year. How are you going to celebrate New Year's Eve? Lots of people will do that by popping the bubbly, watching the ball drop, eating black-eyed peas, or doing any one of a number of family traditions that they might have. If you start a new tradition, I want to hear about it. So easy. Just send me what that is, what you did. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Because who says you have to do the same old thing? You can start your own tradition. My brother does that all the time. Something fun will happen and he says, okay, new family tradition. I think he likes the one where they come over to my house and so I have to cook and do all that stuff. No, I'm kidding. But whatever it is, you know, have fun. Be safe. Enjoy rolling into another year. So crazy that here we are on the doorstep of that. I feel like I say this all the time. I've been doing this show now going into the 16th year, which is my honor and is so shocking. I mean, in a blink of an eye, boom, just like that. Here we are, and we're on the doorstep of 2023. We have some great things in store for this show coming up next year. A lot of fun. A lot of ways to look at what's happening in your backyard and mine, to examine it a little bit closer, how it affects us all, no matter what our backgrounds are, etc. Okay, I want to tell you about Pele. He was the king of soccer, for sure. He won 3 World Cups. And many of us did not see him play. I was one of those people. I did not see him play. My mother did, and she talked about him, and she was not what you would call a soccer person. She, like good old American sports, right? And I mean, of course, soccer now, lots of people play soccer, but she really liked Pele. And I think it was because of the fact that, first of all, that he played in New York, because after winning the World Cups, etc., he brought the game to New York. And there was something about that. He created a bunch of excitement, I think, in the United States. You have to think about way back when that was. So he's dead at the age of 82. He suffered with colon cancer. And eventually he died on Thursday from multiple organ failure. But for more than 60 years, his name really was synonymous with soccer. He played in 4 World Cups. He's the only player in history, think about that, to win 3. I mean, an incredible goal scorer, etc. I love what he said. I was born to play football, just like Beethoven was born to write music and Michelangelo was born to paint. I said that in the first hour because I think it's such a great quote, but he did watch the last World Cup. He did tip his cap to Lionel Messi and Argentina, but he definitely brought the game to life and he tried to bring it to all kinds of people, no matter what their backgrounds were, you know, period. That was his legacy, I think. He loved the game and he wanted to bring it anywhere that he could. Vivian Westwood is a name maybe many of you are listening to me and you have no idea who is she, but she ended up being a big style icon. She died at the age of 81. She passed away peacefully, surrounded by her family in her home in London. She was like the punk person. She introduced a lot of punk kind of fashion to the world in the 80s. That was her big thing, and in the 90s. And she didn't care. This is what I like about things that I've read about her. She didn't care what people thought. she didn't care. She just did what she was born to do. She was born to create. She was born to come up with whatever clothing she came up with. And that's exactly what she did. And she didn't worry about it. She launched her first, like, catwalk collection at 40 in 1981, and she, you know, drew inspiration from, I want you to think about this, movies like Blade Runner. So again, she was not your typical fashion designer. So Vivian Westwood, dead at the age of 81. Lots of conversation about this guy, George Santos. He was elected in New York. He was elected to the House. So Congressman George Santos-elect is now facing all kinds of scrutiny for false claims that he's made about his biography and crazy things more than that about money and how money was raised and the veracity of all kinds of stories, including that 9/11 claimed his mother's life and just so many different things that he's talked about, especially his biography and saying, well, yeah, I padded my biography. Well, no, he flat out made false things up about his biography. Will he be able to get through this, or will he ultimately get taken down in these investigations? Hard to say if that will happen or not. I mean, if there's something legally that they have on him, if it's some legal thing, then of course that's a whole different story. If it's, okay, he padded his resume and it is ridiculous and stupid, but can that really pull him down or not? And then it just questions what's going on with people running. And we know it. It's a wacky world when it comes to the people who represent us and whatever their backgrounds are. Is it sort of anything to get elected, say what you have to say? Was he compelled to do that? I mean, why do that when it seemed like he had a following and that there were people that had a taste for some of what he was saying? I will see if this happens, but Southwest is saying normal services are going to resume their schedule on Friday through the weekend after a tumultuous, needless to say, 8 days that left hundreds of thousands of passengers delayed or stranded. And it ended up making executives feel compelled, and they had to make apologies to the public and even to the government. So, you know, they had another terrible day. Thursday was terrible. They had over 2,300 flights canceled. And Southwest was saying they hope for minimal disruptions over the New Year's weekend and that they're encouraged by the progress they've made to realign crews and their schedules and their fleet. And that was part of the problem, because it wasn't just about the weather. And look, the Department of Transportation formally warned Southwest that they're going to face some consequences if they don't do right by the stranded passengers and the inconvenienced passengers who had to suddenly get hotel rooms, rent cars, try to rebook if they could even rebook on another airline or do something else, because they were just flat out stuck and trapped wherever they were. And then so many missing, you know, luggage. So 94% of all canceled flights on Thursday, this is so familiar, were Southwest flights. It was the flights that I mentioned. And it's the same airports mostly that were affected: Denver, Chicago, Las Vegas, Dallas, Dallas Love Field, Nashville International, Baltimore, Washington Internationals as well got hit by that. And, you know, people not at the Southwest counters, people not being able to get through on phone lines, the brunt of it was that. Is okay, so now what do you do when you're stuck and you can't get on their system? You can't in any way get a hold of somebody and re-rack this. I mean, it really, really went wrong south. I mean, the Southwest software, the crew scheduling system, all of that has to be rebuilt, that whole network. They had to do things manually, and this has been happening for a long time with this airline. Well, we have some great throwbacks to what we did this past year, some of the conversation with some really interesting people, the conversations we had, so hang with us.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Kevin Valkers joins us now, and he has written what I think is such an important book, Structuring At-Risk Children in Urban Communities. Kevin, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate.
What was it that led you to writing this book? Why did you decide, I think I need to get this book out there?
Oh, because I see all the dynamics that the changing, the paradigm shifts that's going on in all these communities, all in different states, all these kids having all these issues at home, and then it shifts to school, and then it shifts back on the street in the community. And then a lot of our kids are ending up either shot or dead because they don't have the respect for authority figures in the school because they don't have respect or authority figures at home. They just lost the respect and authority, and they fighting teachers. They are smoking and drinking in school. They raping kids. I mean, it's a lot of things that's going on in the school, and I just think we need to change it. Very, very soon, or we're going to have a lot of issues coming up in about 5 to 10 years from now.
And you're somebody who speaks from experience, having been in the schools, being there in the schools, you know what that's like. And you were in an incident. How terrible is that for you? Because you really care about these kids.
Yeah, I had an incident back in 98 when I first started in school where a kid had stabbed me in my face. So, yeah, I was. I was at a bad boys school and with Chicago Public School, and the kid had stabbed me in my face. So that was terrible because, you know, my family was like, I don't think you should. I don't know if this is the right field for you, you know, because I saw a lot of dynamics then, and it didn't get worse since then. And I've been with the Chicago Public Schools for 25 years now.
Wow. But boy, do the Chicago Public Schools need, Kevin, people like you. So when people are listening to this, and there's people listening even around the country in other urban areas where certainly they're experiencing similar things, what are some of the things you suggest that need to happen in the book?
One thing that's strong in my book is the parent involvement. We need parent involvement in the schools, especially the fathers. That's a big piece of it to make this paradigm shift in these communities. Once we have parent involvement and holding them accountable for their kids, even if attendance, you know, holding the parents accountable to make sure the kid is in school, and then I can lead to the structure of how we can structure the schools like I have done for 11, 12 years. I used my book as a guide, and it worked with me and my team for 11 or 12 years. But when I saw the shift starting to change, then I was like, I don't want to be in administration anymore, because a lot of my rules that I knew that needed to be in a place to be effective weren't allowed. So
is that part of the problem? Is part of the problem that there's this push-pull with school boards, with what's actually happening on the ground? Because a lot of times people will read something, and to you it completely makes sense. To your team it makes sense. I've heard this from other administrators. But the people that are actually making the decisions aren't there on the ground, so they don't see it.
Right. I need help from the government, athletes, actors, aldermen, the Democrats, the Republicans, community activists, all of us as stakeholders working together to make this change. We can't do it without one of these being absent. Then if we don't do this soon and very soon, we're going to see all stakeholders, families will be affected in the near future. And we're going to have this global cultural destruction.
Do you have hope that there is a way out of this, like you said in your book?
Yeah, I have hope. And I have a daughter that I need to work, because I have to send her to these to school too, you know, and just like all these important people and famous people that I mentioned as stakeholders, if they doing homeschool, eventually they going to have somebody in their family that's going to be affected by one of these disasters that I mentioned, as far as the smoking, the drinking, being sexually assaulted, you know, all these things play an effect. I mean, we need to make this paradigm shift if we want to make this work. And I know for a fact that the father's got to be in play.
Yeah. And we just went through a Father's Day, and every year there's a Father's Day, and people talk about the importance of that. And yet we see that it doesn't get better in many cases, right?
It has gotten worse. So, you know, and I just want to make sure that, you know, if we don't make a change, you know, and make sure the kids change the way they eat, live, think, and because the old way is not working for us. So us as stakeholders, we got to do what we have to do to survive, especially in the future. If not, it's going to be chaos. And then when it gets too late, then they're saying we need to bring in the National Guards or somebody to help us protect us with these kids, or put them on they got to be in a curfew. They got to be in the house a certain time. And that's not good. That's not good at all. So I know that these troubled kids, students been in trouble with the police. They've been in and out of different homes. They believe, why should anyone try to save them? I had a troubled time growing up. I grew up on the west side of Chicago, so it was tough growing up. It was tough. I saw a lot of things that these kids are seeing, but I want to show them that you can make it out, you know? You got to have a drive.
I like that, you got to have a drive. And you said this throughout, you know, this conversation. And again, the book is Structuring At-Risk Children in Urban Communities. Anybody can get it. You can get it on Amazon. Easy peasy. Get it. Pass the copies around. Get other people to buy it. So many schools could absolutely use Kevin's book. But ultimately, and like I said, you've said it throughout this interview, but what do you hope the takeaways are for people who read it?
Okay, so like for the schools that want the how to do the book, then I can stakeholders can help me set up seminars. I can visit, do school meetings with the teachers, starting with the administrators on down to the custodians, because everybody got to be doing the same thing in the school or this, it won't work. You know, we can't have a weak link in the chain. Everybody must be saying and doing the same thing. So my goal is to have seminars. I know I have friends in different states that is having the same issue. I mean, there's teachers just don't even want to go to school. And yeah, they don't show up. So the kids are running to school. And now you have a shortage of students that's in college that's even going in education. So can you imagine how education will be 5 years from now? When we have a shortage now of teachers, and then now we have teachers that are not even going into the field because they see there's no structures in the school. No structure, nothing's happening, kids doing what they want, fighting, beating up the teacher, cursing them out, because they do what you see it at home. You know, mommy being a friend with them, smoking, drinking with them. You know, you have high school girls sleeping with their mother's boyfriend and vice versa, boys sleeping with their daddy girlfriend, and all this have to change. So that's why the parent involvement is very important, because we need that to make the school run successful. And they have to be doing the same thing as the stakeholders, because they're part of the stakeholder too.
Yeah. And like you say, for everyone that's listening, listen, even if you're not in this situation, it affects you because it's like a cancer that spreads. It spreads to the suburban areas. It gets worse. And nobody wants to see this. I mean, we really are all in this together.
Yes. Yes. And I need everybody to pull it. We need it all. And I want to start with the head, the government. I know and these aldermen in these communities. And if we get some athletes and actors come in and the community activists, and then we all work together to make this change, because I know a lot of these people say, well, I'm just going to homeschool my kid, but it's still going to affect your family. And we don't want to wait until it affects your family and then they want to make a change.
Yeah, because that's too late and that doesn't work, and that just ultimately pulls down the morale and hurts everybody all the way around. Well, a great book. Amazing what you're doing. Hanging in there, trying to help, keep fighting the good fight. Structuring at-risk children in urban communities. Kevin Walters, thanks so much for coming on.
All right. Thank you, Kate.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. The travel nightmares for Southwest Airlines keep piling up, along with thousands of misrouted bags in Kansas City. Nicole DeMarco is looking for her bags.
I think I'm just going to look at every single luggage.
Some passengers are stressing after being separated from not just clothes, but medicine and other important items. Considered the greatest soccer star in the world, Pelé has passed away.
He led Brazil to World Cup trophies in 1956, 1962, and 1970. 70, the only player to win three cups. But Pelé's presence and stature transcended the game. His only rival as the most recognizable sports person in the world was perhaps Muhammad Ali.
The U.S. Coast Guard is working to rescue four people after the helicopter crashed in the Gulf of Mexico. Officials said the helicopter went down today about 10 miles off the coast of Plaquemines Parish. The helicopter passengers have not been identified. Dave Collins, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
So we're taking you to Hawaii. Wow, who doesn't want to be in Hawaii? And we're going to introduce you to an author, Don Holman. He's in our virtual green room. He has written a book called Mutiny on the Omaha, Book 1. And there's an entire series that's going to come out with all of this. In fact, he's written 10 books. He's got 10 books all together, which is mind-blowing in itself. And science fiction is one of my favorites. And he really takes you on a ride with Mutiny on the Omaha. Thanks so much, Don, for joining us.
Oh, great to be here.
So let's talk about your road to, first of all, science fiction. Why science fiction? Did you always have an interest?
I think I've always had an interest. I read grade one. I'm dyslexic. I had a horrible time, and nobody knew it. I didn't know it. I had a horrible time learning to read in grade one. Once I finally got it so that I knew enough to read, I've been reading voraciously ever since. I would go to the library, get 3 books on Friday. Monday morning, I'd get 3 more. Friday, I'd have those done. I'd get 3 more. I was only allowed to take out 3 from that library. And so I've been reading. And science fiction, it just gives scope to the imagination. I mean, why not? You can do anything you want. Any situation, any character, having, you know, potential problems to solve. So all the, I figure out a problem, and then I have to figure out a way for the characters to solve it. It really keeps you exercised and energized.
So tell us about the story, Mutiny on the Omaha. We're not going to tell everybody everything, but give us sort of the movie trailer version or a sneak peek. What's the story about? And tell us about some of the characters.
Well, it's really kind of prototypical. The young man, he's just graduated or just graduating high school. His father has just gone missing trying to test out an advancement in the space drive in the ship he designed, the changes that he designed for a standard mail ship that goes between solar systems. And he went out to test this change and disappeared. No further word. And, of course, he left lots of debts behind. They're getting kicked out of their house. He's got scholarships, but he doesn't have money to cover room and board and so on. And they don't have his mother is going to visit her sister, but there's no university there. So he decides there's just been war declared, and so he wants to join the military and work on computers, of course. That's his thing. So he convinces his mother, he joins the military, he gets taken under the wing of a very kind officer, and he's promoted through, the officer says, well, you could take the classes, but you know more than the instructors. So he shepherds him through an accelerated basic training, if you will, or take basic technical training, then goes on and gets to the school he wants to, which are the super advanced computers that they use to operate the ships and bases and so on. And then he graduates. He goes to another final advanced school that teaches how to use the computers better when there's an attack by the enemy. Some small ships, destroyer type ships that have loaded with missiles that have atomic warheads, and they have to defend themselves. And he comes up with an idea, puts it out there, and then gets drafted to do something else totally different, of course. Anyway, you get the first two or three chapters are kind of getting him ready to do things. Then he starts doing things, and it's the story of where he goes from planet to planet doing various things. Like one planet, he's steward or crew, whatever, on a space plane that goes up to the space station and then lands with people going on rest and recreation on the planet. And this guy is a little chubby. He's very standoffish. He doesn't even come out of his cabin most stops. He opens the door a crack. He hands in the papers. They hand it back out. But one place on the planet, and it's the only place that was really developed before the military moved into this strategically located planet, there was a diamond mine, a very unusual diamond mine. It was diamonds are often created in a volcano. And this one spewed out ash all over the place for years or decades or whatever. And in that ash, there's lots of these little tiny, tiny diamonds. And the guy that discovered it became very rich and became mayor of the town that grew up. And every time they land there, and this is the only place there's lots of undesirables. Every time they land there, the captain of the space plane grabs his briefcase and rushes off as soon as they land. And then he comes back right before it's time to take off. And of course, the propaganda that they get is, if you see something, say something. Anything unusual, you're supposed to report it. And he doesn't know whether he should report it, or is the guy just being atypical, pain in the behind, or is it something more sinister? So one day he gets the opportunity, and he follows him. And one guy's on the bus and he's having to walk to try to catch up, and he sees them going in. And the volcano, the old volcano cone, they took a mining machine and did a spiral up around the edge of the volcano. And from that spiral, which is like a big long ramp about, you know, 6-7 stories high, and then they would dig in and they would mine out little chambers. You can't have too many mined out or it becomes unstable. And the stuff they mine out, it's processed for diamonds, and then they kind of, basically they're fronting money for the mining company to process the stuff that they dig out for diamonds. If they get lots of diamonds, you know, they get their money back. If they don't, well, they've still got place to live or for a store or so on. And he finally finds out where the guy's gone. And he walks around. It's a little store, and there's a bead curtain in the back. And he looks, and there's a spotlight down on this table. And on the table is a Go board. If you've ever played Go or know anything about it, it's a Chinese origin, Japanese national game of Go. And they're playing it. And, you know, one arm comes out into the light with a single ring for the captain showing, you know, he knows who it is, obviously. And he plays, and the other guy plays immediately. And then the captain hesitates and then plays again. Obviously, the guy he's playing with is a lot better than the captain is. So anyway, so all this build up, he just likes to play golf. a fun end to an interesting story. Others, you know, every chapter basically presents a problem. You know, captain that is eccentric and unusual. And then they come along and there's the problem solved. And then, of course, that triggers that the captain will play with him. And they have a much better relationship, and he starts getting invited up to the front cabin occasionally. So, great outcome. But it's, you know, all sorts of different situations in the book and the characters. And the situations of real life, what you might find out. I mean, he's even taken to a brothel. And you find out how he reacts to that. And then he is taken, eventually he's assigned to a space station where the computer, which is the ones he learned to work on and put together and diagnose and so on, he's taken to this, sent to the space station. And he's the reason that the shuttle going out to the space station is in such a big hurry. He doesn't know anything. He's substituting. It got its departure time moved up. He's taking the place of the steward that didn't make it to the shuttle. And so he's first off. He takes everybody's baggage in, goes right through this group of officers waiting for the shuttle. And then he tries to set out for this place on, he doesn't know where it is, but he sets out trying to find the place that he was told to report to, and gets braced up by the drill sergeant type warrant officer. And, you know, drifts up, bounces off the ceiling, comes back down, and eventually makes it to where the computer is and finds out that something's, you know, wrong big time. You don't have a complete computer here. So there's another mystery to solve and another problem.
The only thing people have to do listening to this is to go and get it. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it wherever great books are sold. Mutiny on the Omaha, Book 1, Don Holman. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. Or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. Or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Us. His book is called Dings, his novel, and it's about this 8-year-old named Connor who has this convulsion that happens, a high fever-related convulsion, and the story will just grip you from, I think, the moment that you open the book. We had a wonderful off-air conversation. Lance, thanks so much for coming on.
Yes, thank you.
What was it that drove you to write this book?
Well, I've been in a private writing class in my mentor's home with a group of about 22 other people. More than half of us were in our late 70s, 80s, and 90s, creating every week, writing and coming up in the front of the class and reading what we're writing, and only our mentor would be able to critique it. So initially, the class began with half of the 3 hours devoted to the great literature. So Faulkner, Dostoevsky, Chekhov, those were just names to me, and over my lifetime, I really hadn't read them. And this was my opportunity to get educated. And I'd retired from my clinical neurology practice at age 58, and that was 25 years ago, and this was an opportunity to extend life learning. So after about 10 years, my mentor said, Lance, why don't you write something? So I am reading through the Los Angeles Times. That was like in 2009. There was an article by David and Susan Axelrod. Now, David was President Obama's chief advisor. Mm-hmm. And they wrote about their adult daughter devastated by epilepsy. So I thought, right then, there's a story. And I'll have a young kid, an 8-year-old, because my grandkids were about that age, and I'll have him failing school due to unrecognized non-convulsive epilepsy, which is common and which can escape detection for quite a while, where kids can just blank out and they might be slow in school. So I incorporated that into my novel, but I made my novel a woman's story. It's really primarily the mother, a strong mother, a strong woman. And I had two adult daughters and my wife, and even our cat was female. So I'm prone toward women. And this mother has to deal with the school failing her third grader. The third grader was a bright kid, so she didn't understand why there are the problems with school. And to make her even more bitter was that her husband had signed up for another tour in 2007, Iraq. So she has to go to school and deal with the teachers because the kid had, he's 8 years old, and he had a high fever one night. And he had a convulsion that really freaked out the mother. She thought he was dying. And this was at the time that the father had already come home from Iraq, but he was changed. He was drinking more. He had a shorter temper. And it was thought to be PTSD. So she was dealing with this change in her family. And now the school wanted to fail their 8-year-old. So I just brought out how strong she is, and I brought out some literary figures in that what I learned in my writing class. Fitzgerald in The Gatsby, which was a wonderful read. Final lines were boats against the current. Brought back as ever into the past. I had the mother drive to school because with this convulsion, the ER doctor recommended that the mother tell the school about this convulsion. And he let it slip that, no, maybe this is epilepsy. Now, the mother hearing that, seemed to be devastated. Epilepsy, how could this be epilepsy? Now, epilepsy is defined as more than one seizure. So the doctor just said, I'm not saying it's epilepsy. And as she drove down the streets, familiar streets that she never really paid attention to, she ignored just driving to school. But now things were different. She had to deal with the school and tell them that her child had a convulsion. So the boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly. she now sees and recognizes the mothers pushing their strollers and the houses, and these all register. And when she gets to the school, again, she tells the mother, the teacher, that her son had a convulsion. And the teacher just assumes, oh, I've had children with epilepsy before. Well, epilepsy is more than one seizure. So the mother and it gets so angry and says, this is not epilepsy. He only had this one convulsion. But he's not keeping up in school, and nobody knows why. They want to move him back into the second grade from the third grade. And it's because his non-convulsive blankouts are not recognized. So as a neurologist, I harvested my past experience because this is something that we see. Now, one out of every 100 people in America, in the world, has epilepsy. That's 1% of our population. And when the diagnosis is made, and how the diagnosis is made, only a neurologist would ask this question. Connor, have you ever imagined you smelled or tasted things that aren't really there? One of the symptoms of this kind of epilepsy called complex partial seizures, where they blank out and don't really fall down, jerk, or shake, they hallucinate a smell of burning rubber. And when the doctor finally gets to, do you ever imagine you smell burning rubber? The kid said, that's it. I never knew what it was before. It's what I smell in my daddy's construction yard.
Wow.
And when does this occur? And as an eight, even adults have difficulty explaining what these kind of spells are. It's, they get this feeling in their core and their abdomen, and it rises up to their head, and then they sort of blank out, and they might smack their lips. And if you know what to look for, trained observers would recognize it, but most people would think, like his friends, think he's weird because he's just sort of, you know, goes out of it every now and then. So the kid says, well, it's when I have my dings. And I thought of that title immediately back in 2009 when I started writing it. Dings. Yeah, that's what an eight-year-old.
It's a great, great title, Dings. And we don't want to tell everyone everything about the book, so we're going to leave it there as they'll find out what happens. But it's great, your explanation, because you used what was around you, and that's what you do, and you learned that, I'm sure, in your writing class. What do you hope people take away from reading Dings?
Women are strong, and when they have to deal with the problem, life's problems, they rise to the occasion based on their past experiences. And she and I was dealing with a husband that really wasn't participating when he came back from his battle experience and drinking more and short on temper. She realized he's not going to be that much help when the kid is rebelling, having to take these medications. So I also brought in Faulkner, which I learned about in my writing class. We read so much Faulkner. And Faulkner's philosophy was that man will always rise up and live on and continue to meet life's challenges. And she took so much Faulkner, I got in my book, in her college classes, that toward the end she said, well, just like Faulkner, we must be able to live along with this, conquer this problem, and not let it defeat us. So it's a strong, strong mother.
Yes, strong females, as you talked about in the very beginning of this, bringing it full circle. The name of the book is Dings, Dr. Lance Fogan. You'll find it under Lance Fogan. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those great spots. Continued success with your writing. Keep writing, and thanks for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.